In 2017, Trump's then digital director, now campaign manager, Brad Parscale, described Facebook's role in the president's first election victory as paradigm shifting.
Facebook played a huge role in this campaign, a huge role in this election, and the last time something majorly changed that was TV.
Big tech firms like Facebook, Twitter, and Google embedded teams in Trump's 2016 campaign operation in San Antonio. The campaign spent $100 million on it, going around the press straight to the president's base. To that end, they even launched Trump TV, and they did it on Facebook.
Good evening, everyone. Well, you've heard of The View, but welcome to The Right View. You see what we did there. I'm Laura Trump, senior advisor.
But now the mainstream social media and Trump are at odds.
For the first time, Twitter is fact-checking some of President Trump's tweets.
Twitter has put up a rule violation notice on President Trump's most recent tweets about protests in Minneapolis.
Melissa, Facebook says it's taken down Trump re-election campaign ads that describe
and posted it with the offensive caption, "Terrified toddler runs from racist baby." And to make matters worse, President Trump retweeted it.
Public pressure on social media to police its platforms has the president saying he's being censored. Parscale has hinted the president may begin using right-wing friendly Twitter alternative Parler. In a tweet, Parscale linked to a story about the company with a message to Twitter, "Your days are numbered," it read.
You know, it would be nice if he joined. I think it would be great for our business.
Parler CEO John Mates agrees the base is mostly conservative now, but he denies the right-wing echo chamber label the app gets.
I like to call it, I think of us as the first true public square in the social media space.
Parler can't replace the data hall of Facebook, but the Trump campaign is hard at work building new data sets outside the social networks. The Trump 2020 smartphone app is all about data collection. It asks for myriad personal details and phone permissions, including the ability to geolocate users. University of Texas researcher Jacob Gursky, who wrote about both 2020 presidential apps for MIT Technology Review, says the app also gamifies the ability to share with friends and family.
That sort of first-hand data collection of people's personal networks is an attempt to recreate the Facebook Graph API that was the whole sort of original sin of the Cambridge Analytica scandal.
Cambridge Analytica was driven into bankruptcy when it became public the company scraped private data and online behavior on more than 50 million Facebook users. That data helped get Donald Trump elected. When the scandal broke, Facebook and other social media firms started rolling back their micro-targeting abilities. Director of UT's Center for Propaganda Research, Sam Woolley, says the Trump's 2020 app, and to a lesser extent the Biden app, is a test of how they can go around or rely less on mainstream social media.
Since the social media platforms themselves have gotten rid of some of the most problematic means of micro-targeting, the geolocation features on the Trump app and others can help them to do the kind of micro-targeting that they used to be able to do but now can't.
In addition to controlling the data, Trump's 2020 app controls what people see. The app presents cherry-picked tweets and pushes news headlines and stories that are often disproven.
Not only are the articles disinformative and they lack authorship a lot of the time, they also, by sending them out on the Trump app, they're also avoiding getting fact-checked by anyone else. So they're circumventing that mechanism on Facebook and Twitter as well.
So now the Trump campaign isn't just trying to recreate the universe its users live in to best micro-target an ad. It's creating a universe of facts all its own. I'm Paul Flav in San Antonio.